committee meeting Tuesday, March 20th, 2018. Oh, Lord. 6 p.m. Any citizens' comments? Minutes for correction approval from February 20th, 2018. Any comments, corrections? All right. Moving right along. Public Works 2018-21 Snow Operations Report. New business number one.
Very small one. Only went out twice, and once was only with three trucks. The year end will be next month, hopefully.
So you're saying it's not going to snow on Friday?
Why wait one more month?
Okay. Any comments, questions, concerns? All right, new business number two, Public Works 2018-22, disposal of vehicles.
Memo in the packet, Christy has taken a couple hand-me-down vehicles, and they're all in various states of disrepair, so we want to package them together. Haven't decided whether we would auction them or sell them. Oh, I guess we are intending to sell them at auction, aren't we?
Yeah.
But we need city council approval because their original value is more than $500.
Just so everybody knows, too, the 2007 Taurus, the 57,000 miles has been on there for like 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says structural.
So. Structural failure of the vehicle.
That's not good.
The frame is rusting bad, and the exhaust fell off. It doesn't turn left very well. And we didn't know that Pornima never said anything.
Yeah.
Until the exhaust fell off. Pornima. She was out doing inspections with it, and the exhaust fell off, and she didn't feel safe driving it. We got in the car, and my guys came back to the shop like, I don't know how she's driving this car.
So it's almost like the myth that UPS drivers never turn left. Come on. Guys, here. Any comments, questions, concerns, or opening bids? All right, consent? Mm-hmm. All right, new business number three, tracking number PW 2018-23, the Casey's IDOT permit.
All right, so Casey's, as you know, is developing at the corner of McEwen and Route 34, and they are connecting on to the state highway. So as part of that, IDOT does require a permit. And part of the requirement is to have a resolution passed by the city. It's something that you've seen before and a pretty standard documentation.
Do we know if it's going to be a right-in, right-out, or it's going to be a full opening?
So right-in, right-out.
Any comments or questions? Sweet. Consent? Mm-hmm. NB number four, Public Works 2018-24, Fox Highlands Water Main Improvements.
This is an engineering contract with the EEI. It's for design and construction engineering for the project where we're diving in off of Route 71 into the subdivision. So the materials from last month's packet are in there in case anybody has any questions about the actual project. But it is budgeted $29,000 or so fixed cost for design and an estimate of $32,000 plus some direct expenses for construction engineering. So this will be at the start of the Route 71 project, which is not out to bid yet, but will be shortly. Would be still probably yet this year, potentially.
Anyone? Bueller? All right, consent? New business number five, Grand Reserve Unit 2, which is PW 2018-25.
All right, the developer's been working on completing punch list items probably over the last two construction seasons, and they have completed the current list, so they have requested acceptance for the items within Unit 2, and there's other documentation attached behind the memo, location map and what have you, but we are recommending acceptance at this time.
That's nice. I should have broken them up into small units. So thoughtful. Comments? Consent okay with y'all? New business number six, Public Works 2018-26, subdivision acceptance consideration for Grand Reserve Unit 5.
Similar story. They've been working on the punch list items over the last couple seasons, and they're at a point where everything has been knocked off the list. So they've requested acceptance, and we are recommending at this time.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Consent?
Mm-hmm.
All right. New business number 7, Public Works 2018-27. Anthony's Place acceptance consideration.
All right, so with Anthony's Place, there are a handful of public improvements that need to be accepted. They are highlighted behind the memo on one of the site plans. So all punch list items related to the public improvements have been addressed. So we are recommending acceptance of those items. So basically it's some water main, sanitary sewer, and some public sidewalk. And along with that, there'll be a letter of credit reduction. They need to provide 10% of the original value of the items being accepted, and that value is noted in the memo.
Did anybody make it to the open house today? You went last week,
no,
right?
Yeah. I had a little bit of a tour.
It's really looking nice.
It is.
I'm glad we stuck to our guns, and they didn't go as big, because it just looks, it just blends.
Yeah.
It just blends.
It's very nice on the inside. It's much nicer than I expected. They will do like a grand opening in like another month or two that they'll invite everybody to, ribbon cutting type thing.
Yeah, but from I walked there a couple times when the weather was nice. I'm like, man, that is.
Yeah. The interesting
just fits the neighborhood now.
Thing is, they've told us that if it had been approved at 4 and even potentially 3 stories, that because of the tax reform and everything that was done, the bottom probably would have fell out of the market because it was a much larger project.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said that it actually worked out in their favor that they're
I
able
think
to do it.
Win-win
stories.
For everyone.
So
it kind of makes all the little townhomes look bad now. It really does. I
guess they're not as nice.
They're not as nice looking anymore. And come next to that, it's really, really, really well done from the outside. So
yes.
Not surprising inside.
Good to hear. Consent?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, Public Works 2018-28, Sanitary Sewer Lining Program 2018.
Alright, we took bids on March 8th. We had several folks that bid the project, and the results were positive. Low bidder was well below our engineer's estimate. So the low bidder was Innovative Underground, based in Yorkville here. We did have a couple of the other bidders raised a couple questions and concerns about the ability of Innovative to complete the work. Eric and I and some more members of my staff sat down and met with Randy to talk through the project, and we reached out to a few folks that he had done business with, and at this point we're comfortable in moving forward with him and recommending award of the contract.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, Eric, you guys have used
we've used him
Randy
through
for
the years.
A number of different projects.
And it's
so,
Randy Harker's the owner.
Okay. From Public
PCC.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I knew the address, and I was trying to think who it was over there.
Yeah, it's Randy.
Is that what they're out there marking up stuff now over in that area? It looked like one of you guys was out there today.
I think YBSD was doing some flow monitoring.
Yeah,
oh,
I don't think it was us.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So we are recommending award. After all that, not the Innovative.
Very cool. I mean,
guys are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you vetted them properly and you...
We did, and they met all the qualifications as well.
That's awesome.
On the contract.
And it's going local, so I'm... If you're cool with it, I'm cool with it.
Sounds good.
Consent okay for everyone?
Yeah.
And now... Public Works 2018-29, new business number 9, 2018 Road to Better Roads program.
All right, we took bids on March 12th for this particular project. Bids came in from the usual 3 that have been bidding this type of work. Again, good bids, and D, once again, was the low bidder, and fairly substantially below our estimate. And we are recommending acceptance of the bid and award of the contract to D in the amount of $385,182.36.
Cool.
Just of note for future agenda items, so the difference between the bid and the EOPC was about $75,000. So that usually we try to reserve that for change orders or just field decisions. but in this case, you know, I think it could be banked for future projects.
Sounds good.
Very cool. Consent?
Mm-hmm.
If I start crying as I announce this, please forgive me. New business number 10, Public Works 2018-30, Whispering Meadows Units 1, 2, and 4, completion of improvements.
All right, so Aaron.
Sorry.
All right.
Go ahead, Brad.
I'm ready. So prepared a packet, which I will, I think everybody has one. Everybody received a packet there. So bids were received yesterday, Geneva Construction ended up being the low bidder. I would say that their bids were very good. Asphalt prices in the 50s, which again is extremely positive and good for the city. We bid out a number of items, knowing that it was, you know, probably going to be more than what would be constructed, but we wanted to see how things came in. So all the paving was bid out, and all the underground punchless items were included within the base bid, if you will, including the off-site storm sewer. So we've taken the results, and the total bid results are attached in the packet. But we took the results and summarized it, and then tried to put it on the front page of the memo just to condense it down. So the base bid basically came in at $1.49 million and included all those items, as mentioned. And then from there, we just threw out several alternatives just to talk through and to think through and have some discussion on to possibly reduce some items down and get things a little bit closer to where you know, might be more palatable or what have you. So, and maybe I should note that the one exhibit to the last one is a good one to kind of flip out to kind of give you a sense of all the paving that is included, the colored aerial photography exhibit. And as mentioned in the base bid, all the paving shown in red and blue was covered. Alternate one takes out basically the work within unit one. That area does have a final surface course on it, although it is, you know, it's been in a while, been in there 10 years, probably has another 5 to 7 years worth of life left. But we could remove that if we so desired. That would save us a little bit of money, about $68,000. Also, in the alternate one, we took out the off-site storm sewer, which was another $89,000, just to remove that completely. That's something that could be done later. Public Works has indicated they possibly could do it. You know, so those are just a couple options that are there. Alternate two, we started looking at Faxon Road, and maybe there's some things we could do to lessen things along Faxon. So alternate two basically took the, we had proposed to remove some of the binder and then relay it and then put the surface course over the top. Alternate two basically accounts for just patching of some of the bad areas on Faxon, and it also includes the surface course. So, you know, we save a little bit more money if we go that route. So when we do that, we're probably taking life off of that section of pavement. So if we just patch and go over the top of it, because the binder is pretty, you know, it's not in the best of shape, we're probably going to get 10 to 12 years of life off of it. If we were to take the binder off and then put it back on, put the surface on, we're probably getting 15 to 20 years worth of life out of it. And alternate three, we basically remove all the work related to Faxon and just take that completely off the list. And that option, if you just left the binder there by itself, it's something that you could pick up in the next couple of years on the Road to Better Roads program. Probably wouldn't want to let it go any more than 3 to 5 years because it has failed rapidly and starting to fail more rapidly. You know, there's a huge difference between the condition of that road in the last 2 years, I would say. It's substantially deteriorating. So we just threw out a couple different options, and I believe Bart has mentioned this before, the sanitary sewer and the water punchless items are going to come out of the enterprise funds, so those are $45,000 each, roughly. So those are covered. And so that's just a couple items to note. And I think Bart, you had a couple things to comment on as well.
Yeah, so if you just, if we knock off the water and sewer fund conversation, because I think that's easier. It's not budgeted yet, but it is a small part of two funds that are doing relatively well. So my thought was, don't use settlement funds for those. They're water and sewer fund eligible. So just fund it out of those funds and get those done, and then we're done with water and sewer in the subdivision. So I saw that as the two easiest pieces of the recommendation. And then on the actual pavement, we do have the $75,000 potentially from the Road to Better Roads bid that we just did. So that gives you $875,000 to pay to play with. In our opinion, we thought that the pavement projects were all more important than the stormwater. The stormwater is an issue that will need to be remedied at some point or another, but we saw the pavement as a bigger impact. So the first priority is anything that doesn't have surface course on it already except for Faxon. So that's units 2 and unit 4, so like the back half of the subdivision generally. The area that already has surface course on it would be our second priority. So that's in the blue on the map in unit 1. And then the last priority would be Faxon. And again, Brad's timelines are, if you don't touch it, you probably have 3 to 5 years left before you need to resurface at least the surface course. If you do full binder on it, you can get 20 to 25 year cycle out of it. If you just do surface, it's probably a 12 year cycle out of it. But it's less used. It doesn't connect directly to 47 right now. We figured we'd want to make as many residents as happy as possible and pave areas that are the worst off in the subdivision. So that was the recommendation there. So if you don't touch the front half of the subdivision, don't touch Faxon, that's option 4. Okay, so that's $924,000.
Yep,
okay.
Almost 923.
So to me, even though it's $50,000 over what we have, in my mind it's not unreasonable for us to say we're going to do it. We'll try to find money somewhere else in the budget to fund that and have it as part of the budget discussion going forward to try to do that. Maybe there's a change order on another project that takes it down, but worst case scenario, if we had to fund an additional $50,000, I'm comfortable with recommending that as an overage, so spending down fund balance in this fiscal year. That's probably like the last time I'm going to say that for the next 2 years, just given our budget situation, but to me, this project is warranted. So I think that's where we leaned to. If you're more comfortable being more aggressive, though, you could throw the surface course on Faxon. That would really, push that way out into the future. And the front half of the subdivision, there are residents that live there. Their pavement is not great, but in the context of the entire city's inventory, it compares favorably. So we were going to get some 2012 numbers because we haven't done our scan yet to be able to show them, yes, if we make the decision not to touch your pavement right now, that, hopefully we'll get to it in 6 or 7 years. But oh, by the way, compared to everywhere else in town, you're not that bad off. So that was the different things that we talked about today. So I don't know that there's a firm recommendation on the fourth option or the last option on the list. But to me, it hits all of your roads that haven't been touched. We can make some decisions down the road. We always can come back through next year and say, we're not going to do Road to Better Roads again, or, maybe you do a half and half system. So there still are multiple decision points that you have in the future.
Brad, just for clarification,
yes.
When we say Faxon, are we saying Faxon from Allendale to Alice? And including including the paving within the subdivision?
For right now, we just lumped the entire section of Faxon right in those numbers. Yes.
So the difference between the entire neighborhood and 2 and 4 being done is roughly $210,000 to $215,000?
Yes. Yes.
Minus Faxon, of course. So the idea of removing Faxon from the entire neighborhood sans Faxon, because there are no homes on it, is a lot more palatable to me than the idea of not completing the roadways with homes on it. I know there are a bunch of vacant spots over on McMurtry and Goldenrod, and right there around Eldon, towards the back of the neighborhood, but we're really talking about scraping the bottom. So I'm much more comfortable with the removal of Faxon completely than I am keeping Faxon and making it kind of like a patchwork quilt back there. That's every conversation I have with Leah, they're going to forget about us in the back. Like, no, because you don't have a road as much as I don't have a road. So from my perspective, option number three with unit one added, those would be the two that I would be literally crying in my shoes over.
Do we actually have, is it $210,000 is what the unit one pavement would be, which is just milling an inch and a half and then putting the surface course back on, right?
Unit one only is $68,000. Roughly.
So I don't understand if base is 1,489,000, and then all alternate number one does is remove million overlay.
It takes off the storm offsite storm sewer.
Oh.
The,
with 76,950.
Yeah.
So can we have alternate number four, which is no Faxon, no storm sewer, but includes the removal of the 1.5 and then adding it back?
Yeah, so it'd be the, excuse me, the 1 million, just the roadway portion, I'll take a step back. So it'd be the 924,000 plus 68.
So you're looking at $1 million.
Roughly $1 million, yeah.
I guess my recommendation maybe would be to approve the option three and then see how the work comes in, and then you can either make a decision to do it immediately.
Yes.
In the field with a change order, or if
we could
authorize a change order and then back it out.
Yeah, because you know once we go through, we'll be tracking quantities, and if we feel there's enough money, you know we have your blessing, we can just go through it and do it.
And then if everybody really had to do it, I mean, how much inefficiency would there be in the cost if you just bid it out as part of next year's package and said like we can't afford it, that'll be the first thing next year.
Well, you could certainly do that. I would say the asphalt prices
may go up.
Probably will go up. I mean, these are in the mid-50s, which are phenomenal prices.
Okay.
There's always a chance that they're going to be up. I mean, this year's, if you look at this year's Road to Better Roads program, they're in the 60s.
Okay.
Granted, you know, if you don't
less
have the money.
Still, in the 60s, they're creeping their way back up already.
Yeah.
I mean, if everybody's comfortable with being a little bit more aggressive, that puts the gap at about $120,000. So, you know, that would have to be something that we'd probably have to make some decisions.
That's
on.
The 120, is that adding that 70 whatever back in? So,
60.
Or was it 60? No, I mean from the Road to Better Roads. Is that the 120 are you take?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have 800, I'm adding in 75, so it's $125,000 gap.
After
because
the,
we're
okay.
looking at about $1 million. And hopefully it'll be less. I mean, you know, we've tried to conservatively estimate our quantities and everything, but we won't know until we get in there. So.
Yeah.
So whether revenue comes back into this from the other stuff that's going on, how does that factor in all this? Because that could change what you do, right? The TRG stuff.
Yeah, it would just be a benefit.
More money.
If the city gets any other money from any other sources, it would just go back into fund balance, or we could spend it on another project. So I'm saying, for budgeting purposes, you would never assume that.
Right.
You would just go forward and say, we're comfortable with $1 million worth of pavement work, even though we only have $800,000, knowing that 75 of it is hopefully going to come from the Road to Better Roads after we close that out, and then maybe, you know, we make a decision on $80,000 or $90,000 here or there.
Sorry, just also so I understand. And so, could you, if you got other revenue later on, are you able to take that to a different to do the other projects, or does it have to stay in a subdivision?
Yeah, no, you can use it anywhere you want it.
All right.
Well,
so,
you could use it to pay back this.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. That, or if you're going to rob something else to do this, then
pay this. Yeah.
I didn't know if you could just take that and put it over there.
Yeah, I mean, it would be contingent on whatever settlement agreement you signed at that point. But yeah, I mean. Our current settlement agreement says we'll use it for whatever purpose we want.
So
I think do everybody's and just leave fax it off. This is where we're at, right? This is kind of.
We will be paving through the intersections of one
street later on.
Because if we move them out.
What we're doing is we're covering every home in Whispering Meadows. We have a completed roadway, and it wouldn't be two neighborhoods anymore. It'd be one.
Right.
We would, when they do Allendale, would they do the swath that crosses back?
Yes, we would do the intersections.
Okay.
And the returns, there'll be a nice little return on it.
I just have a question on McMurtry. So way in the back, there's really, what is there? Oh, I guess there is a
couple
house
houses,
there.
Not very many.
On the pond there.
The longest stretch without homes is like north of Faxon on McMurtry.
Yeah.
It's like 600 or 700 feet.
There's only two houses back
that.
There.
We were talking about different things, leaving pieces out, but there's not really a good.
Yeah. Because you have. Plus,
that would really end up looking bad.
I'm thinking more for when they start developing and you're going to have.
Construction traffic.
Yep. You put a lot of money into the road there.
But again, that's on the developer. So.
Well, that's.
Are these all TRG lots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They own 71. So the situation as it stands right now is I live in a completed neighborhood as it stands. Mm-hmm. The idea that we're going to let it go until there's a developer, it's just not, not feasible for the quality of life over here.
Yeah.
Two main reasons why I'm okay with Faxon being held off is, number one, if anybody ever wants to connect Faxon with 47, it's going to have to be improved anyway. And that could be something where it's a share. It's not just Yorkville, again, shelling out the money. Two, like I said before, there are no homes on Faxon. And then like a 2/B, 2/A, the majority of complaints that I get about Faxon that are people are going too fast. Mm-hmm. So I think if we invested in finishing Faxon, we would just be encouraging more destructive behavior.
Street grazing.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully if it starts to fill in, you can always get Unit 3 to help assist as well for Faxon.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what I was kind of thinking. That.
Yeah, because 3 is a different owner, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, as far as I understand, he still owns everything. Yeah, that whole chunk.
Yep.
So, all of 2, all of 4, no Faxon. I would love Unit 1. But I understand that could be shaky, but I would like to do all 1, 2, 4 and no Faxon and no... of the offsite.
It won't be a game time decision. Quantity wise.
I think.
Because we have a base bid price for it.
We'd have to talk about it with Kathy, but you may be able to authorize it and then have that be the last section you choose and then make a call in the field depending on
quantities.
And it requires a lot of tight management. But.
And then as far as repaying the fire hydrants?
Okay.
Would it be okay if my neighborhood just paints all the fire hydrants and we save $12,000?
I think Eric was actually, his group was going to do that, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, anything that we can do that,
that
doesn't involve, you know, like, I'm not even being facetious, I'm dead freaking serious.
No, that's something
that we can do.
We'll get you the paint, you guys can have a day.
Yes.
Yeah, Eric and his group have agreed to do several items already that we pulled off the bid.
Okay.
So, we're trying to chisel away and get things down as low as possible.
If we can get this as close to a completed neighborhood at the same time, seriously, I'll give you one of my kids, Eric.
I got 2 of my own, man. Not good.
Oh my god.
We're trying. And we will continue to.
Do we hug now or do we hug later?
Let's wait until it's done.
Yeah, wait until you're...
We just had the conversation. That's where the hug.
Strictly physical contact policy here.
Hug me the other day.
I violated my own policy.
Not consent. We're going to talk about that for a long time.
You got it.
I would hope to have some sort of outline as to how you'd be able to fund that $125 at the meeting verbally.
Thank you, everyone.
So what's the residents been saying? Do they know about this?
Yep, well aware. Like I've said
before, there's
4 O's on the woo, not a full 20. So guardedly excited is a good way of putting it.
I just thought all the emails we should get.
Yay! Well, once everything is starting,
let's get one good one coming back at us.
Me being from Aurora, I understand that when you say something is going to happen, it's not as true as when it actually happens. So while we are guardedly excited, believe me, when the roads are completed, there will be festivities. And
not just a black party, a development party.
Oh, yeah. We've already talked about mariachi, an entire neighborhood having a bike ride at one time, shot by a drone, with the mariachi on bikes. A lot of tacos. And then we're talking about hopefully having like an annual 5K that we can tie in with our party, because now we can do it without it being the pothole 5K. Which everybody thought I was being facetious. I'm like, no, that would actually be fun. Now it's like a Spartan race slash 5K. You just have to, you know, sign this 45-page insurance rider. Oh, man. I'm going to throw up. Public Works 20-31, New Business 11, Traffic Control Request Sutton and Wendat Ridge.
All right, we've been asked to take a look at this intersection and had staff go out and review it. And there were a couple items associated with site distance that were a little bit concerning. There is a lot that will definitely have a future home that will be constructed that will definitely also cause an issue with the site distance. So at this time, we are recommending stop sign being installed at the Sutton Street approach.
I'm glad to hear that. Just on a side note, because this was brought to my attention first. So in January, there was two incidents where cars didn't stop and they went right into the neighbor's yard, taking out the two mailboxes and up on the person's porch almost.
Damn.
There was an incident last fall, and it was to the prior year. So I don't know, because I said there was no incidents. I don't know if people didn't document it. Police?
Yeah, they're not reported.
Yeah.
Because I told them, I go, if this happens anymore, get the police to get out and make a report, because I was worried that that would fall on deaf ears.
Yes.
If it was two in January, one in December or November, and then two the prior year, where people come through that intersection and they just don't stop on Sutton, and they end up getting panicked and then on Wendat and end up in the yards. Mm. And also, that is also an intersection where they stop the buses only a couple spots in Wendat. And that's one of the major stops that has four bus stops in the morning. And four in the afternoon, where kids are getting off, and then they go to Sutton, they go to Claremont, they go, they fill route from there, so it's like one of the main bus stops too there, so, which is a good, probably good idea there of safety.
Yes.
Is it a four-way?
It's a T.
No, just a two-way.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's so a T over there.
Sign will only be on Sutton, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a familiar one there.
Anything?
I can't believe it. Just wait till
next week.
Yeah, next week. Consent
okay with you?
Consent
okay with you?
Right. Can I get one too?
Where?
I live at a T intersection.
Where
are
you at?
I'm at the end of a T intersection.
So we'll call it Seaver's stop sign?
I'm scared now.
Does the bus stop there?
You don't want them in the lawn, huh?
If the bus stops there and lets kids in and out, I would say it.
No, because he graduated.
Oh.
But any future children suffering the wrath of complacent drop.
Oh, because you were school, but not that far.
Yeah,
out.
Walkers.
Yeah, you're walkers.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was high school.
The high school, yeah.
The high school kid, otherwise they
walk to Bottom Creek.
That's all right.
Well, whenever you want, let me know.
I'll be fine.
We could just do the flashers.
Okay.
We could just do the flashers.
Hey, Seaver, I got flashers. Aren't you really jealous now?
It's not a competition.
I love my flashing
lights. As long as Eric keeps my street light lit.
It'll be good.
Why is that one constantly?
Why is it
going
so bad?
No, it's been.
It's been good now. It's the ones on McHugh and Kennedy that we've been having problems with. But Seaver's been fine now.
And Seaver, on top of the flashing lights, we've had a cop sitting there.
Ooh.
Quite a bit lately.
There's been a lot of traffic routes with the police this past couple of weeks, which is good.
It's good. They can sit there all they want.
Yeah. All right.
I'm just making a
new business number 12, Public Works 2018-32, the CMAP LTA grant.
First of all, I apologize for all the acronyms.
Come up with them?
There's quite a few of them, but that's just how they speak. Basically, this is the next step in the ongoing project for Oswego, Yorkville, Montgomery's water project.
Oh my.
This is one branch. This is the Fox River governance study, and Lake Michigan is, of course, the other. This is a grant from IEPA, I believe, through CMAT, that will assist us in getting that study completed for the governance ordinance, which will be completed in May, June of 18.
So excited.
It's a $2,000 question.
Yes, yeah, $2,000.
Yeah. Normally, we would have just authorized it, but the grant requirements require a city council approval.
Hold on, I'm trying to find something regarding this one. All right, sorry about that. Consent okay with everybody?
Sure.
All right, new business number 13, Public Works 2018-33, baseline road status.
Yeah, there's a memo in the packet. Joel had gotten a few emails from county residents in the area. So I just gave everybody the unfunded narrative, and then we do still have money budgeted for closure, but the inspections and our observations haven't warranted it yet to this point.
What did you tell these people to see if the county wanted to help out in that?
Absolutely.
And what was the response?
Well, it's the city road.
Yeah, but no city people live there.
But that was what the conversation was about.
We could sell them.
The resident did mention a couple like suggestions. So I understand, and I was always on board with the closure because I thought that made the most sense. Because when you look at the actual report with the pictures of like the footings and like all of the new words I learned with, you know, exposed rebar. How about you just don't drive on that until it's fixed? And I understand that this would be something that would kind of be included in an expansion discussion.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, like, I'm not even sure if I would want to use $60,000 to fund the closing of that if we're getting closer and closer and closer to 47 going northward being a reality. Because it's like buying a car wash. Like, we're going to spend $60,000 on closing it, and then they're going to. Right.
Yeah, we would only close it if the inspection report came back and said that it had to be closed.
Okay.
That's our recommendation at this point.
Cool. Okay, so I'm cool with that. The resident did make two suggestions that didn't seem too out of the question, and they didn't necessarily involve, because he originally contacted me about the quality of his roadway, because he had seen an article about Whispering Meadows getting roads. He's like, oh, if you guys are getting roads, let me tack on.
Do you want to give him some
No,
no, and that's an expensive road.
Yeah, but he had made two comments. One, signs that actually say no trucks can go under the two simple signs that are there now, just to emphasize the truck red circle signs. A little enforcement of the signs and some hefty fines for truckers who ignore them would be nice too. Maybe that's what we can call the county. You know, buy some county cops some coffee.
I do think that will lighten tremendously when they redo the Galena intersection striping.
Okay.
Trucks are taking that as an alternate. If they see that there's nobody there, they'll quick take that turn instead of trying to turn to Galena.
Okay.
But they're not supposed to.
But I thought a sign was a lot better than actually a roadway. I know that any sign that you put on 47, you have to go through the whole petitioning thing with IDOT.
We're on ours. It's on the bridge itself.
So. Okay. But maybe we can borrow Jackie's blinkies. Why are you looking at me? And then his second suggestion was if the white stop here line going eastbound on baseline at 47 just over the bridge could be painted or a sign that says stop at line, it would help the traffic flow, which might end up helping the roadway deteriorate slower. The sensor under the pavement that controls the eastbound traffic, it's a green light on a sensor, and the sensor is just east of the bridge. So the first vehicle in line, if they stay on the bridge, the light never turns green. He had to actually get out of his car, knock out the window, and go, can you move up? Because it's not a timer. So I thought, okay, that's legitimate. This is frustrating. That would be on our roadway, correct? So those are two suggestions. I'm like, okay, the one, I don't know, because it's on 47.
It's an IDOT traffic signal and system, but it is our leg of the intersection.
So if at all possible, maybe we can look at those two suggestions as at least an amicable way of saying, yeah, we get it, it sucks up there. They wouldn't be too expensive, if expensive at all. I mean, if we get an extra sign, I don't know. I just want to do it. Discuss it, look at the information again, because I know what it feels like to have a project that you really can't do much with for years at a time.
The stop bar is in the correct spot, it's just faded?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that from here. Sorry. Yeah, I think we can just probably go paint that. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, if the white stop here line, whatever you call it,
right,
just over the bridge could be repainted, or a sign that says stop at line, it would help. So regardless of whether the thing, the strip is painted, if people, like when I was in the driver's ed, it was always going your nose to touch the line, not your tires. So if people aren't actually pulling all the way up, they're not getting the light,
yeah.
So they end up sitting there on the bridge that might fall into the ocean at some point. So
this one's a little more forgiving. The traffic loop is smaller, so you do, it does sense, and it's not like a pressure thing, it's just magnetic.
Okay.
It's just electrical.
Well, if it's a simple strip of spray paint or a sign,
that's what we'll do
here.
As soon as it decides to get warm enough to paint.
Okay.
The sign stop here, we would have to get IDOT permission, so maybe we'll try the other first. And
yeah,
that's District 1. That's the...
Yeah, just whatever we can do that isn't...
Sure.
I understand that, you just put everything that was in other packets in the same thing. I totally get it, and
yep.
I appreciate you putting it together for me. But that's kind of the... I know where this dude is mentally, and it's a grueling place to be.
I don't think
I'm
you
just
do.
Fixing myself. I also get that comment, but at the same time, I understand.
I have a question. So you have this little thing here that this bridge was 1999? Am I reading that right? So this bridge isn't even 20 years old? Is that the...
No, that's another one.
There's four bridges.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's not the bridge that has the problem.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
All right, just wanted... So I'm like, man, that's not... Really,
yeah, I was going to say, that didn't...
That's not old.
That's not
what,
very old.
Who built
and
this?
And why does the bridge on Faxon, like coming from West Beecher or whatever it's called, why does that look so good compared to the other one?
Township. I think the township redid it not long, like after 96.
It didn't last longer than 20 years. I get a little mad.
So,
yeah.
It's relatively new.
Yeah.
That one also has
a giant culvert.
Yeah, it has the metal underneath as opposed to just exposed concrete.
Right, it's a giant culvert.
So yeah, if you could look at those two.
How much of this roadway is ours? After you go over the bridge.
It's almost all the way to Ash Road, so I would say two-thirds of the way west.
Yep.
So it's that top line right there.
Yeah, it's right.
Yeah.
The, was it Meagle Road or Meagle?
Yeah, and Ash is that north-south right there. It's at the Eldomain extension.
Wow. Okay,
so it's
the white.
Yep,
so two-thirds of it is ours.
Do we want to force annex those people into the city of York?
I don't believe that you would be able to.
Because it's not surrounded? And it's not
correct.
Contiguous?
Yeah, and it's a lot more than 60 acres.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in front of us, a world ago for concept plan at some point or another. So White Pine Farms,
White Pine,
if I remember correctly.
That would be in the southwest?
Southeast.
Yeah.
Oh, of 47 and 30.
No, it'd be
the Eldomain.
Yeah.
And baseline.
Oh.
Ash and baseline,
okay.
Sorry.
West of the panhandle there, all the way at the top.
That
right
there.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And yeah, there's plans floating around for a white pipe.
Alright. So that was majority of the informational. Anything else? No? Me,
Adrian? Woo!
Mm-hmm. Oh.